I'd like to read from Daniel 6, 1 through 16. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord, gracious God, we come before you after hearing your word. Lord, we ask that you just bless these words to our hearts and give us learning and understanding from them. Lord, be with me as I give this message and try to explain your word, Lord. And just let these words be your words and not my own. Lord, help us to give you all honor and glory and praise. In thy name we pray, for Christ alone. Amen. We live in a world where there's no strange thing for men to invent their own rules and laws. Our government is almost constantly making and changing laws and regulations on national, state, and city levels. Even our own households, I'm sure we all have some rules that we follow. And usually, rules and laws, when used in the correct way, are a good thing. They help to maintain order, encourage safety, and fairness in this broken world. I think that it's safe to say that every organization that has specific rules and laws will have some form of law enforcement, because there has to be some form of punishment for not obeying the law. Otherwise, the law would be meaningless. This making of laws is not a new concept, as we have just read. We can see here that King Darius was able to make laws as he so desired, influenced by people around him. And in those days, there were different kinds of laws. There were the verbal laws that the king would make. Those could be revoked or ignored because they were not in writing. But the law of the Medes and the Persians means that the king wrote this law on paper and put his seal or stamp on it, that even the king himself could not break this law again. I'll make a little point of this because we see that the king, in this instance, kind of suffered from his own law. And I think that this should be the case in every instance that law is made, that those who make the laws ought to obey them as well. Imagine if a police officer writes you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, and then he doesn't wear his. Not going to make you very happy, is it? I find it interesting how Daniel reacts in this situation. Because here we see he does not listen to the law. So I want to ask you, did Daniel sin by ignoring this law? Did he have a bad attitude? Did he stop respecting the king? After all, we see it plainly laid out for us in several different places in Scripture that we were to submit to the authority over us. I'll read a little bit of Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible judgment, punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. It's pretty clear there. And then 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14 here. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So that is the word of God. So do you think Daniel sinned? And I think the most clear answer that we find to that question of Daniel's disobedience to this particular law are the words of Christ himself in Matthew 22:21, Mark 12, verse 17, and Luke 20, verse 25. Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, in this case, the king wanted to be worshipped. But all praise and honor and glory belong to God. The king is not God. To be worshipped is not his. We see in God's law that we are not to worship anyone or anything else. Exodus 20, verse 3. He says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Daniel was simply giving to God what was and is and always will be God's. God alone is to be worshipped. God's law came directly from God and also cannot be changed. I want to point out that Daniel had no intention of disrespecting the king and authority over him. He had devoted his life to serving the king and helping the kingdom prosper, even though he was taken as a slave. However, when it came to this situation, we see that Daniel didn't even waver. He didn't question what he should do. Of course, he is still going to pray to God. Daniel has faith in God, not the earthly king. This law left Daniel no choice but to disobey the earthly law in order to remain faithful to the Lord. We are commanded to submit to the laws that those in authority place over us, unless it goes against the law of God. I want to also point out that Daniel was very aware of what the punishment for disobeying this earthly law was. He knew that he would be thrown into the den of lions if he was caught praying to God. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. He was willing to be a martyr for God. How would you and I react in this type of situation? Imagine that if the government said that if we did not worship the president, we'd be subject to lethal injection. Because being thrown into a den of lions meant certain death. Could you and I stand for our God regardless of the earthly consequences? And that punishment did happen. He was thrown into the den of lions. And yet, he did not resist when he was being thrown into that lion's den. Daniel's true test of courage and faith was not at that moment when he was thrown into the den of lions. His true moment of faith was when he chose to obey God's laws, no matter what the consequences. Without hesitation, it says he went and immediately after hearing the news, he went and prayed to God for help and to give praise to God in his normal way. He didn't miss a beat. He knew where his strength came from. I want to point out also that Daniel had no way of knowing that God was going to save him from that den of lions. Daniel did know that God could save him. He didn't know if God would. But Daniel had faith that God would make something positive come from this messy situation. You see, Daniel was not bothered by the thought of death. He may have had some apprehension, as we all do. But he was not concerned about whether he lived or died in this situation. Instead, he remained focused on God. Daniel's entire life was devoted to showing God's love to those around him, most of which were considered his enemies. As we see through Daniel's life, his greatest concern was to properly glorify God. He spent much time in prayer and lived his life in a humble yet loving manner and was kind to everyone that he met. He willingly subjected himself to helping the king rule this kingdom wisely even though this kingdom was the enemies of his people. And we see that Daniel had no problem speaking up to those in authority over him, whether in a positive manner or sometimes to rebuke them. We see it early in Daniel 1 when he requested of his captors to eat only vegetables instead of drinking the wine and the food from the king's table that they were serving everyone else. Because he knew that he needed to remain focused on God. So he did speak up against things he could not agree with. We need to remember today that even the greatest, most powerful men in this world are still only men. They are not gods. We can see in today's world how many people have been raised above the rest, whether it's for entertainment purposes or they're in positions of authority. I think we can fall into the trap of idolizing and worshiping certain people by raising them to a level that they might be equal with God. And in other instances, shame or fear may pressure us to turn our back on God. If we disagree with something that the world wants us to go along with, they come down on us, ridicule us, shame us. And I know it's easy to become frustrated and angry when the authorities over us misuse their power and position, or even just social media. And many people turn to social media to angrily post their beliefs, condemn those who disagree with them. This happens far too often and does not do anyone any good. It only makes things worse and drives a wedge between those with opposing views. As Christians, it's our duty to love our enemies. And when we become angry or hateful of those who hate us, we're not following God's laws. As we are instructed to love God above all else and our neighbor as ourselves, instead of posting our beliefs and thoughts on social media, one of the best ways to speak up is to simply write an email or a letter to the president or governor or law enforcement and tell them why you disagree with their policies or laws, but do so in a loving and respectful manner. And sometimes we don't need to speak. Just as Daniel did in this instance. As Jesus did. As we find in Isaiah 53 verse 7. As the sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It's okay to quietly lead by example. To humbly submit yourselves to the earthly punishments that this world brings is a great and powerful way to show your love and commitment to the Lord in a way that everyone who sees or knows about your situation will respect you and respect God and your faithfulness to God. Sometimes this is the best way to fight evil. Because even the most well-said arguments can be twisted around and used against us in ways that we never meant to happen or could imagine. We see clear examples of this on a regular basis. Things that we post on Facebook or Twitter can come back, get twisted. And they can be used against us, even though we had the best intentions. So when our government requires us to do something that would dishonor God, it is our duty to stand against evil. Make no mistake. And yet God wants us to humbly subject ourselves to the authorities that He's placed over us. We're not meant to be free to do whatever we wish. Can you imagine a world without laws? No speed limits, no stop signs, no justice could be served because there would be no way of saying that someone did something wrong. Seems like the world that we live in today wants to be free to do as they please. But do they really know what they're asking for? Imagine if God had not given us His laws and instructions. How sad of a state would the world be in? The world's already in a bad place because of the fall. But God uses His servants, His written law, and His word to guide His people. The Father sent His Son to make a way for those who believe in Him, to trust in Him, have faith in Him alone, so that they could be saved. You and I can be saved in a more miraculous way than Daniel was saved in the lion's den. So I ask you, go this week. Honor those in authority over us, because God has placed them in their position. And much of what they do is good for us. But if they ask you to disobey the laws of God, do not hesitate. Do not follow their laws. Follow God's laws only. Take comfort in knowing that God has an authority, has placed an authority. Take comfort in knowing that God has authority over all those who are in authority over us. God alone rules. God's laws mean everything. The basis of all of our earthly laws ought to come from God's laws. Loving our neighbor as ourself, and God above all. Amen.